listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. I'm excited today because I'm going to talk about something today with you that's really important to you, even if you don't know it. I get asked about this all the time, and here's why. Your ultimate life, I define that as having a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create with your effort, your gifts, your talents, offering your best self, your divine gifts. You know, I call them a lot of different things. One of the things that has to happen is self-care. And I get asked about that a lot, especially with busy people, people that have kids, people that have a lot of kids. Well, I have 10. So I've had some experience with that. People that have busy jobs or long commutes or are scrambling to make ends meet or those kinds of things where a lot of times it's like, well, I don't have time to do any of that crap. I barely get by. I don't get enough sleep, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to talk about self-care today. Now, in order to make that make sense and to do something valuable, I want to get some things out of the way and off the table. So in talking about self-care, I'm not talking about ridiculous self-indulgence, although there might be a place for that, where you buy everything you want or you only pamper yourself and ignore everybody else, or, you know, you take selfishness to an extreme where people around you are harmed. I'm not talking about any of that. So just set all that aside. I'm talking about care for you, and let's talk about what that even means. Now, I have a well-developed 16 years of work developing a self-care process. I'm not going to tell you that it will work for you or that you should use it. What I am going to do is share some of it with you, or share it all with you. I mean, there's no secrets here, but in the context of encouraging you to develop your own, and I'll give you some tools. I have a new book that is just published, and that book talks about this, and it's called Living with Purpose and Power. Living with Purpose and Power. So all my books are on my Amazon page, and when you have a weird name like Kellen Flukiger, like it's not hard to find. You do have to spell my name right, or sort of right. Amazon will probably help you there. But anyway, that book talks a lot about this self-care ritual, but I call it something else. I call it a daily creation process. Now, for some reason, God created the world and everything else so that we go to sleep. Like a third of our lives, essentially, 7-8 hours, whatever you sleep, is spent unconscious, asleep. You're dead. You die every night and get reborn every morning. Not really, but it's kind of like that. So, you know, the design is what it is, and maybe later, you know, we'll get a chance to ask why, but that's what it is. And I love it for several reasons. And this self-creation process, which is the core of your self-care, is a beneficiary. It comes out of the fact that we wake up every morning after having been slept. And, you know, we know what happens, or a lot of what happens when we sleep. The body rests, there's digestion, there's restoration of muscles, you know, there's recovery of brain, processing of memories, all kinds of things happen in the different stages of sleep, REM sleep, light sleep, deep sleep. And we're not going to have a conversation about what each of those do, because that would take a whole episode. And I'm not an expert on it anyway, even though I have done some reading, like you probably have. But here's what I know. When you are an athlete, you warm up before the game. We've talked about that before. I'm a pianist and a vocalist. So I just now finished half an hour ago, a lesson that I have a week, every other week, I have a lesson, a coaching session and a lesson with a Hollywood A-list vocal coach whose clients are on The Voice and, you know, those kinds of things, AGT, America's Got Talent, those kind of shows. And he's had some A-list celebs and so forth in his client list from his practice. And here's what today I was singing two songs we were going to work on. And so we started, we did a little chit chat, and I sat down at the keyboard, and this is me playing and singing. not singing with the karaoke track, although I've done that sometimes. These are all original songs. And if you're interested in any of them, if you look my name up on Spotify, you'll see all that too. But this isn't a song pitch. These two songs are songs that tell stories from my books, Tightrope of Depression and Down from the Gallows. Those two books are stories about my life and the stuff I'd been through. And so I wrote some songs to tell stories. But anyway, as I sang this first song, I did really well and I felt really good. Felt like I did it well. And, you know, the emotion, the expression was there and everything else. And you know what he said? He said, you know, that was really good. And then he gave me some pointers and he said, are you up for doing it again? And I said, yeah, sure. I'll do it again. And what do you want? And I asked him, you know, what do you want me to do different? What do you want to do different? Because I'm looking for, you know, pro level coaching, highest level stuff. And he thought for a minute and then he looked at me and he said, just settle in. And I thought, settle in. So I did that. And he didn't explain it any more than that. Settle in. So I did. I breathed, got in, did it all over again, settled in. And when I got done with the second one, he just applauded. And then he asked me if I could feel the difference. And this is what this has to do with self-care. The difference was, and it's funny because we were speaking in shorthand. I said, well, the first time I did it, that was like my first song. And the second one, even though it was the same song, wasn't my first song. And that was because, and so the first song had the little squeakiness, the little not quite ready, the little this, that, and the other. It wasn't quite there. And when I did it again, I'd settled in. I performed it. Great. Killer. I would have easily been satisfied with that performance in front of any audience. So we talked about that for a minute. And here's how this ties into you, your creating your life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Because it was my first song, I hadn't warmed up well. I'd warmed up some. I'd been doing some humming and some exercises as I did other stuff, getting ready for a call. But I hadn't warmed up in the camera, you know, on camera, performing, like performance-ready stuff, like you do in a green room, right? And those little tiny things made a difference. So my point in the story is the warm-up mattered. And though the first song was now warm up. So I asked him, okay, what do I do? And he said, so you need to go through your day and sit down at your performance station. I have a performance station over there. That's keys are all set up and the mic's set up and everything's ready to go. So I can perform, which I do sometimes. Just go through the day and randomly sit down and do that first song thing. And the goal, of course, is to get myself so that I'm able to do that. Well, so here's what this all, long story for a really important point. If you don't warm up, and we'll talk about what warm up in a minute, it means in a minute, because it is self-care. If you don't warm up your heart, your mind, your emotions, your intentions, your body too, if you don't warm those up, get them ready for the day, they're only going to perform like first song jitters, think stage fright, think I forgot what I was doing, think all the creakiness that comes when you're surprised and you have to show up. So this is the heart of self-care, which is, I'm going to call it self-creation. And this is actually one of the most powerful things that I can give you as a creator to build your ultimate life. You don't build an ultimate life accidentally. It doesn't come in an Amazon box. You know, even if you won the lottery, that doesn't build an ultimate life. That just gives you money to spend. And if anyone that thinks that money's going to solve your problems, I can promise you it doesn't, because I've been there too. And all it does is create bigger problems with more zeros. Preparing your heart, your life, to be the person you want to be doesn't matter. It doesn't depend on your money. It doesn't depend on anything except who you want to be. So here's how it works. What do you do when you get up in the morning? Do you get up as late as you possibly can? Do you hit snooze several times? Do you time your morning process so you can just hurry up and do what you have to show up at the first mandatory thing, whether that's giving the kids a ride to school or rushing to the office, or if you're working from home, rushing downstairs for your, or upstairs or same floor to your first Zoom meeting? I said downstairs because me, All my studios and offices are in the basement, which is huge. I have three studios down here. It's crazy. Anyway, is that what you do? I've done that. I can remember so many years when I timed my morning so that I had to get up, take a shower, do the stuff I had to do, and then commute to work. Boom. That was it. And then on my commute, I tried to do a little thinking about what my first meetings or obligations were, and there was zero preparation of anything except a little bit of time spent on work-related stuff. Well, that's not enough preparation because there's a lot more to you. You're a much richer, more textured, nuanced human than just your work skills. Now, to create myself, my self-care, I use an acronym, SPEM, S-P-E-M. It isn't magic. It is a thing that I do to create myself or give myself the self-care. Now, if you buy a car, and I have bought cars that I wanted to take, you know, good care of. Not very often because I'm not a car buff, but I have had that happen. So what do? Well, I make sure it's washed and I polish it or have somebody polish it occasionally. I do some things that will preserve that. I do that in the recording studio with microphones. I make sure that they're cared for, that they don't get dropped, that nothing happens that will damage their usefulness. I take care of them. Well, do you take care of you? Do you take care of your physical body? Are you at the weight you want? Are you in the shape you want? Are your relationships joyful, happy, like you want them to be? I don't know. Are they? Most of us avoid that conversation. And here's what we say, do instead. We say, I don't have time to fix it anyway, so screw it. I'm doing the best I can. Here's the funny part. It's not so funny. You're free to live like that forever. And your relationships or your body or your health or your mental health or your spiritual health, it'll stay right where it is or it will deteriorate without attention. Now, you know, and I know, if I don't eat, I'm going to be starving pretty quick. The body's going to complain and you're going to go take care of that. Well, our spirit, our energy, whatever you want to call that thing, I call it a spirit, that doesn't have the same command of our attention that our stomach does. So if I don't feed my spirit, it just withers. It just withers away. What does wither away mean? I become less attentive. I listen not as well to people. I don't pay attention to life. I feel less gratitude. I complain more. I get bitchier. Those things happen when we don't take care of our spirit. And we're going to talk about what that means in a minute. But it starves and atrophies just like your body does. It's just more obvious. When I spent a month in the hospital and 17 days in a coma, I learned after the fact that a body can lose up to 2% of its muscle mass in a day when you're in a coma. Now, I read that somewhere. I'm not saying that's the definitive answer, but I read that. When I came out of the coma, I had lost 35 pounds and I couldn't walk. So it seemed about right to me. It took a long time, many months to build up strength and so forth. But that's an example of atrophy of the body. Well, your spirit atrophies. Your mind atrophies. Now, I'm an accomplished pianist. There's been times in my life where I spent some years not practicing much. When I started practicing again, I'll tell you, the skills atrophy, not just the fingers, the mental acuity, remembering songs I used to have just under my fingers. Not so. Self-care is the foundation. I would argue, I've heard it said by someone I respect very much, that in his opinion, self-care is the ultimate spirituality. Wow. What a statement. Whether you agree with that or not, let's take it apart for a minute. Our bodies and spirits were created by the divine. We're here on purpose. This is not an accident. There are no accidents. We may not like some of the things that happen or some things that are inflicted on us. There aren't any accidents. And we're created on purpose. So self-care means taking care of that divinely created being, both spirit and the container, the skin bag, the body. That could be the most important thing you do every single day. That might be a bold statement, and you might think I'm crazy, or you might think, for the rich or the luxurious or somebody, but I can't do that. I'm here to explain to you what, number one, that's not true. That is a story that you have, and you can be pissed off about it, but it's a story. It's not true. You can take care of your spirit and your body and your relationships and your mind and do it in a short period of time in a way that leaves you energized, healthy, and powerful. Now, I'm going to give you one description of a way to do that. And this description is what I teach clients that are beginning this process who know in their hearts they're not doing very good taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of their bodies, their hearts, their minds. They're just getting up and going into the day and meeting it like it is and doing the, quote, best they can, and they're not happy with it. And they have an innate sense, you know, if I took some time, etc. Now, we've all heard of books like The 5 a.m. Miracle, which talks about getting up early and taking some time to do some of the things I'm going to talk about. I'm not saying what time you need to get up, but here's what I am saying. Getting yourself ready, besides getting a shower and your clothes on, is the most important thing you can do for the day. If you don't, that's like a star player going out and playing a championship game without warming up. No shots ahead of time, no hockey drills, no basketball shots, no swings of the bat. It's unthinkable. You wouldn't do that as a franchise player. You are the franchise player of your life. You're the only one that even gives a crap. Everybody else is looking out for themselves, and if they ask you or me to do something, it's usually to satisfy some need that they have. Now, parents and children, there's an exception there. Parents have an innate love that's powerful for their kids, and they're looking out for their best interests, not always, but often. But when we're grown up and out in the world, you need to look after you. Now, some people have the idea that self-care is selfish and we shouldn't really do too much. Well, that goes in that self-indulgence stuff. We're not talking about that. So here is an example of something you can do starting today or tomorrow. You already know what time you got to leave for work. You know what time you got to do whatever it is you got to do in the morning. Take somebody, take a kid to school or whatever. Give yourself 40 minutes to do the ritual that I'm going to outline for you, or the process. You can change it. You can substitute anything that works. This is not rigid, but it is non-negotiable. Now, there's four parts to this, and there's 10 minutes that you spend in each part. And the parts are flexible. Sometimes you can even combine them. So it might take less than 40 minutes if the number of minutes is critical for you. But here's the thing. If 40 minutes doesn't fit into your existing schedule, then go to bed earlier. Go to bed earlier. There's a study that I read, more than one, that said, and it was done at Harvard and some other universities, that an hour of sleep before midnight is worth two after midnight. Wow. Well, that says, gee, what do you think? Early to bed and early to rise? That phrase was actually tested. So go to bed a little earlier. Try it. Like, if I give you a suggestion, you don't have to say, okay, I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. Try it for a week. Make a commitment for a week or a month. And if it doesn't fit, take the jacket off. So I'm going to give you something here that I have proven over and over again for me and many, many, many clients. 40 minutes, four parts. S-P-E-M, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. Here is the way you can prepare yourself. Now, my morning ritual lasts a lot longer than that, and I do it because I love it, and it prepares me even more vitally, but this is a beginning. The spiritual part doesn't belong to a particular religion. It doesn't dictate any particular practice. What it does is it allows you time. You can meditate. You can simply sit still with yourself and learn to be still. One of the funny things that people tell me when I start talking about meditation often is they'll say, oh, crap, I can't. My mind is too flippant, thinking too fast, too much. I can't do any of that. Not even for 1 second. Forget it. That may be true. And so if you're choosing meditation, and I'll give you a number of choices. If you're choosing meditation, then just sit there with your racing mind. And gradually what will happen is you get better at letting thoughts go. Refuse to go down the rabbit trails. One of the ways that people suggest starting this is with your breath. And the reason is really simple. You always have the breath. You can't not breathe and be alive. It gives your mind something to focus on. Some people use some kind of a mantra, some sound or whatever. I'm not going to preach a particular thing. Start with the breath. So every time you find yourself thinking about that bill you got to pay, the itch on your foot or anything else, just bring your mind back. Oh, yeah, laugh. Here I am, crazy monkey mind. I'm going to think about the breath. Now, what does that mean? What am I thinking about what? Well, here's how you could do it is experience what it's like to breathe in and feel your lungs expand. Feel that and focus on that feeling and then breathe out. And you can feel the feeling of what it's like to breathe. Like, we don't pay attention to that, do we? We just do it all day long. And we know if we quit, we're dead. But we don't really think about the act of breathing. Breathing is symbolic of all life. The earth breathes. The seasons is the earth breathing. The water cycle, the air cycle, oxygen, carbon dioxide, all of that is exactly, excuse me, the breathing of the universe. Stars are born and die. So those breath cycles are a lot longer. But breathing is as natural a part of every living thing as anything. So start with that. Focus on what it's like to breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. And slow it down. Do it on purpose. And just play with it. Set a timer for 10 minutes so you won't skip anything. I think at about 3 minutes, you'll think, oh, this is stupid. I can't do this anymore. But that's okay. Just go. Keep going. Keep going. And learn to breathe slowly, intentionally, really deeply in and out. And you think, you could be saying, why is that even important? What good does that do? Is that crazy? Well, I'll tell you what it does. This is backed by a raft of scientific study and evidence. Breathing slowly and deeply affects the body's chemical balance in a positive way. Breathing slowly and deeply processes the neurotransmitters associated with anxiety, frustration, and anger. Those things tend to float out of our bodies when we're breathing deeply and slowly. That's where things like, you know, count to 10 and so forth came from. Breathing deeply and slowly. So if you have nothing else for that 10 minutes, just breathe deeply and slowly and let the thoughts go, no matter what comes. Oh, there I am thinking again. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Bring it back to the breath. Experience just for 10 minutes what it really feels like to breathe as a human being. Now, there are a bunch of things you can add to that. One of the things you could do is, as you breathe in, experience the sensation of your lungs and feel the oxygen and energy going into your body and all that kind of stuff. Some people teach, imagine light and power with every breath and breathing out darkness, breathing out anxiety and worry. In with the good, out with the bad. So there's 1,000 things you can add to the breath. But the simple thing is just to breathe. Breathe. I can promise you, if you do that for a week, every day, 10 minutes, and if you could do it at 10 at night, that would be great. It'll help you fall asleep faster, be more restful, clear your mind, a bunch of other stuff. But we're just talking about warming up for the day. That, after a bit, you learn to let thoughts go. You learn to have your mind less busy. And here's what else begins to happen. You begin to have thoughts that come to you that aren't the frantic, busy thoughts of what I got to do today. They seem like they're a different color, like they came from somewhere else. Well, they did. They're your intuition or your higher voice, higher self talking, or the divine. We're not going to cover that today, because talking about learning to hear intuition and how to distinguish that sort of thing is a whole episode in itself. And I've got tons of other stuff on that. But I don't want to rush through that just to try to squeeze it in here, because it would shortchange it. So if you want to learn about how to recognize your intuition and how to cultivate it and do everything else, reach out and I'll point you to some resources that I have that does that specifically. So that's just one thing that you could do in what I call the spiritual part. Another thing that I do and that some clients do is they might pray, if that is a part of your life, to whatever it is, higher consciousness, the universe, God. I'm a spiritual, so I pray to God. But whatever that power is that we all know exists, just connect with that. Connect with that intentionally, and that is a process that will help you get more intuition. The universe is actually on your side, but usually we're too busy to hear it. We're too full of doubt and frustration and blame and anger and bitterness. We're too full of why me, why that, why now. We can't even hear the broadcast. We can't hear it. And so then we get mad and we say it doesn't exist. So another piece to think about in that spiritual connection piece is maybe you read some sacred literature. Maybe you read the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or some other thing that is not the busyness of today, but has more transcendent principles. Stuff that's written intentionally to be timeless. I dare you. I dare you. You could be hearing this and dismissing it. This Kellen's full of crap. I dare you to try it. Meditate. Read some literature that has stood the test of time, centuries, thousands of years in some cases. There's a reason. There's a reason that it has. So take advantage of it instead of just pushing it away, if that's you. Maybe you're already doing that. So the spiritual part, that just 10 minutes and set a clock so you won't go over time, is an intentional way to acknowledge our connection to a larger consciousness, acknowledge our connection as one to humanity, to breathe as a method and tool to clear your mind. If you pray, then pray, read sacred literature, but do it slowly. Slowly. This is not a, okay, check, 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 check. That's useless. That won't do anything. So if you do it, okay, hurry up, 10 minutes, da, da, da. Then nothing. But you would do that if you went to learn to play tennis. Okay, pick up the racket, do this, do that, check, 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 check. Without intention, then doesn't do much. But you already know that. So spend 10 minutes. Here's your challenge right now from this little piece. Get a piece of paper, or if you're driving, get a mental thing and write it down when you can. What are five things that you could do, you, not somebody else could do, that you could do? Maybe you take a walk. Walking meditation is beautiful. Maybe you just stand in nature. Maybe you just look out at the ocean and breathe. Maybe you look at a beautiful landscape. You know, there's 100 ways, but the point is slow down, connect with the infinite, turn off the noise, right? And acknowledge and connect with the greater whole. Spend intentionally 10 minutes doing that. So that's the S part. Now, there's a whole bunch more to it. But again, in the space of one episode here, I can't do that. If you want more, reach out to me. I've got a whole book, and half of it's dedicated to the creation of powerful morning rituals. Now, the reason I'm devoting this episode and that book and other things to this is not because I didn't have anything else to write about, and not because I'm trying to tell you what to do. This is from years. 16 years of practice and work with hundreds of clients to prove that you can increase your productivity, you can increase your creativity, you can increase your cash flow. You can increase the joy of your life engaging in these processes. So that's the reason. Don't forget about that. All right. Part two, 10 minutes on the physical piece. Now, maybe you have a plan to go work out later. Maybe you're going to go play tennis, or maybe you think, well, I walk around enough at work. I don't need to do this. Wrong. Do not skip the physical part. Our bodies are laying in bed, flop, for all night. The physical part is just to pay homage, to honor, and to wake up your physical body. It's just a container. After all, it's not that spirit. We know that because people lose limbs and their spirit's the same. They don't operate as half a spirit because they lost their arm or their leg or something. I know people like that, and their spirit is not different unless they choose to get angry about it. And then that creates a whole different thing. So that body is important. And so we need to honor it. Now, there's lots of ways to honor your body. I'll give you some of them, and you need to take them and adjust them in the way that makes sense. But it's important that you spend, and I use 10 minutes, but spend 10 minutes. One of the things I do is stretches. Your body's been laying there, so you might lay in bed and, you know, grab your feet and straighten your legs and stretch your hamstrings, or you might bend forward, or you might twist your back around, or you might get on the floor and, you know, do a couple push-ups, or, you know, just do some things to gradually wake up and honor your body. Now, there's several parts to this. One is, what do you eat in the morning? Garbage? Or do you give your body what it needs to have a powerful day? You've been empty all night, and honoring your body is really important. So here's the way I describe it for myself, and I'll share it. I say, I am that I honor the temple, or I care for the temple that is my body. I am that I eat well for health and enjoyment. I am that I exercise often for health and strength. I am that I sleep sufficiently for rest and rejuvenation. I am that I heal and develop through celestial energy. What I mean by that, I know it might sound woo-woo, but what I mean by that is, in the meditation part, I consciously connect and bring that energy into my body to heal and develop. And I've had boatloads of injuries and all kinds of stuff. And if you've listened to many episodes, you know a lot of the stories. But those go away. My voice, my back, my legs, my ears, all the things that are broken have been and are being healed so that they perform well. So how you choose to take care of your body, again, is going to be up to you. But don't skip that. I don't have time. I got to hurry up and get dressed. Get up earlier. Hit the floor for 10 minutes. Do some stretches. Yoga, martial arts stretches. There's 1,000 videos on YouTube that you can do for 10 minutes. I'm not talking about your daily workout or your Peloton or whatever it is you're going to do if you're doing exercise or going to the gym or something. That's something different. This is an intentional creation process for your day where you honor the vehicle that's going to take you around all day. You pay attention to it. You stretch it. You wake it up. You feed it. You care for it. You sleep enough. You drink enough water. Dehydration is worst after being asleep all night, obviously, since you evaporate. Right now, we are in the middle of winter up here in Alberta, and it's really dry. I have to drink a lot of extra water up here because it's dry. That was true in Phoenix all year round when we lived there because it's so dry in the desert. Anyway, so that's the second part, is taking care of your body. I want to mention one more thing that's kind of a mix between physical and spiritual, and tell you a little story about it. One of the things that I teach clients to do is called the mirror exercise. And here's what it is. Go stand in front of the mirror. Look deeply in your own eyes and say, I love you. Now, if that is strange to you, or if it's awkward, I had one client tell me I'd rather put my hand in a meat grinder than do that, because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we're ashamed of ourselves. Maybe we're ashamed of how we look, or maybe we're ashamed of who we are or things we've said or done. Maybe we're being dishonest in a relationship or in a with money or some other way. And so looking in our eyes and saying, I love you, might be hard, but you need to learn to do it anyway. And if there are things that show up for you that you have control over, that's a call to fix them. That's a call to say, you know what? I got to get in integrity with that. I told so-and-so I'd do this and I have no intention of do that. I need to clean that up. Do whatever you have to do. Now, here's the interesting story about that. I had a conversation today with a fellow who is not a current client, but he was a client for a year. And he told me today that later this year, he wants to come back and start another year of work together. And I said, great. And then he told me, he said, I want to tell you something. And he knows about my goal to reach 250 million people. And that goal is just to help you realize who you really are, divine, capable, powerful. Anyway, he said, and he reaches thousands of people. He has a large business and he does a lot of stuff with lots of people, thousands, right? And he said, you know, when you first told me, and I didn't know what he was going to say, but he said, when you first told me about the mirror exercise, I resisted. But he said, I want you to know that that is one of the most powerful things you gave me during our year together. And I have told thousands of people about that. And so through me, you have reached thousands more. And it's a powerful thing. And so he started out with resistance. He started out feeling like it was awkward and clumsy. And guess what? Now it's a permanent and powerful part of his daily creation process, self-care. If you're in a place where you loathe yourself, like I used to be, I hated myself. Part of the reason I was busy in addictions and failing relationships and suicide attempts and everything, I hated myself. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like that I lied all the time. I just couldn't stand myself. I thought of myself as the source of misery and woe for myself and many others. So self-loathing was a big deal for me. So learning to love myself involved cleaning up a lot of mistakes. It involved forgiveness of others and myself. It involved doing what I could to fix stuff that I'd done wrong. But then ultimately, it involved forgiveness. When you've done what you can to make things right, when you've apologized, you're done. Groveling, waiting for someone to tell you, okay, I forgive you, is nonsense. Someone else's spiritual journey is not your rock to carry. Someone else may never choose to get over whatever happened between you. That's their choice, not yours. When you have done what you could do to make things okay, and you have changed who you're being, like if you did something creepy, then you did something creepy. Change. This whole process of creating your ultimate life, you're not going to create the ultimate life doing bad things, being a liar, being dishonest, being creepy, hating yourself. That none of those roads lead to your ultimate life. This is about how to clean that up. So if you find yourself looking in the mirror, trying to love yourself, and you hate the thought of that, let alone doing it, that's okay. That's where you are at this minute. So start there and take tiny steps. Clean up what you have to clean up. And if looking in the mirror and saying, I love you, deeply in your own eyes, it can be true just because you're trying. I'm trying to be the best person. I love you for that. I love you for making the effort. There's a million reasons to love yourself. And like I said, someone suggested, and I actually agree, self-love, true, honest self-love, is the highest form of spirituality. You're honoring the being, both spiritual and physical, that you were given. So that mirror exercise is powerful. I promise it will make a difference if you do it for real, slowly. Set your timer, 3 minutes, look in your own eyes. See if you can even look in your own eyes that long. And practice loving yourself. And if there are things that come to mind that you need to clean up, fine, go clean them up. You're not going to create your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy until you do. So that's the physical part, SP. E is a big category. It is, E stands for emotion. And I use that as a catch-all category for every relationship that I have. Now, what in the world can I do in 10 minutes about relationships? Well, you know what? Today, it's easier than it's ever been in the universe. 20 years ago, it would have been harder. You could still do it. But today, here's how easy it is. Here's what I do. I get my phone. And sometimes during meditation, and sometimes left over from yesterday, or sometimes looking at the calendar of people that I'm going to talk to today, not about business or anything, but just seeing the presence of people, ideas come to me about people that I could talk to, messages that I could send. And we can send messages today like we could never do before. It's so fun and so easy. So every single day, I will send messages. And here are the kinds of messages. They're never business messages. They're never having to do with, you know, that sort of life. But they are messages of love. Just, I love you. They're messages of remembering. I'm thinking about you. We talked about XYZ the other day. And I just wanted you to know you were on my mind. And I'm just glad to know you. They could be messages of repair. If something has gone south, or, you know, you had a conversation that didn't end well, or something happened, messages of repair. And they can be messages of connection. You know, I saw you the other day, you sent me a friend request or whatever, just wanted to get to know you. Tell me a little bit about this, that, and the other. Not talking about you, because remember, this is you serving, giving, creating relationship, nurturing relationship, repairing relationship, sending and giving love. Now, what I find most of the time is during my meditation, prayer, meditation, that thing, which is a lot longer than 10 minutes, a whole bunch of names will come to me. And when I pick up my phone and look at either Facebook Messenger or SMS or whatever, WhatsApp, whatever, I like Facebook Messenger, but it can be whatever, I immediately know. And I send 3, 4, 5, sometimes 7 or 8 messages, messages of good wishes, messages of hope, messages of encouragement, responses to things I haven't responded to. But it's always with the intention to love. Because remember, this 10 minutes is about creating you for the day. Well, I want to be a person who's in love, comes from the place of love all the time. Part of my own personal truth document that I've referred to many, many, many times is a statement. I am love, and pour over your soul like warm sunshine. I don't say that to say, yay me, I couldn't care less about that. It's to remind me that the person I want to be as I do this episode, as I do my podcast, as I talk to every single person I talk to, as I coach, even as I handle disputes and disagreements and things that could turn nasty, even as I do those, I choose to come from a place of love. That doesn't mean I'm a doormat. That doesn't mean I agree to stupid things. No, no, and no. What it means is I choose always to come from love. So from that point, and I intentionally remind myself and create myself that way in the morning. And do I stay there? Am I perfect? Of course not. That's ridiculous. That's an aspirational statement. I am love, and pour over your soul like warm sunshine. We'll have to remind myself of that 57.6 times a day. But you know what? Doing that changes the game. So that E is nurturing, blessing relationships. Now, my wife is an angel, and so often one of the messages will be to her, how much I love her, how thoughtful she is, and gratitude for this and gratitude for that, all over the place. And I intentionally do that. Why? I choose to be a person who comes from gratitude, comes from love, who freely expresses it. There's an infinite amount. I want to give it all away. And you know what I find? It changes who I'm being in every meeting and in every conversation. The last piece is M, and as you might expect, that stands for mental. This is the place where I intentionally engage in mental development. So I have a lot of books, lots and lots of books. Some of them are related to coaching, personal development, you know, rah-rah, woo-woo stuff, and many of them are not. But they're all books designed to cultivate and elevate my mental capacity, my knowledge, my consciousness. One of the fun things that I'm really infatuated with is the zero-point universe, zero-point energy, and, you know, the quantum field fluctuations and the quantum universe and all that stuff that Einstein did and Feynman and all of those folks. So I dig into that a lot. I read books about those things. And there's been a lot of experiments, science work done with that kind of work. And I really, really enjoy digging into that. So I read books on that. And then, of course, I read books on personal development and those kinds of things. I've got some historical fiction books. I've just been reading a book about Alexander the Great. The point of the M is to keep your mind juiced, to get yourself juiced. Now, that's 10 minutes. And you read whatever you read, a chapter, two chapters, five chapters. Maybe they're short chapters. Maybe they're long chapters. But the point is, get your mind warmed up and juiced so you're awake, you're alive, and you're focused. So that is the four parts: spiritual, physical, emotional, mental. I've given you ideas about what to do. I want you to create your own. I'm inviting you to create your own. What I'm not inviting you to do is ignore me. Because if you think that just because you heard this, like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, I'm going to do nothing, then it will do exactly nothing for you. And I know you know that. So there's no surprise there. If we do the same thing over and over again, we're going to get the same result. No surprise. I'm inviting you for a week, just a week, 7 days, to commit to yourself that you're going to try this new thing. Get up so you have 40 minutes, 10, 10, 10, 10. And if you try a thing today and it doesn't feel right, try another thing tomorrow. Like, adjust the contents of each block so that you are warming yourself up for the day. Now, the name of this episode is Self-Care and Your Ultimate Life. This is the ultimate way to care for yourself. It's something you do every single day without fail. When I first started doing this, I failed all the time. I hit snooze. I don't have time. All kinds of excuses. I tried to find shortcuts. I'm going to hurry. I'm just do 2 minutes of this and 1 minute of that. And you know what? That's better than zero. But you know what I found out? I have found that my days, my life, everything is so much better, more fun, more productive, more cash, more clients, more results, more joy, more relationships. It's so much more productive. When I do this, I would not skip my morning ritual for anything. Nothing. I make sure, no matter what's going on, I have time. Not because I'm trying to be weird, not because I'm trying to prove something, but because, oh, I like the way it feels. I like the way it makes me prepared for the day. So you've cared for your spirit, you've cared for your body, you've cared for your relationships, and you've cared for your mind. And you can divide the life up into other categories. I use those four because they're convenient, they're easy, and I sandwich everything inside of those. Don't neglect yourself. You are number one. You are first. If you don't care for yourself, you're not going to be as good a parent. If you don't care for yourself, you're not going to be as good a partner in a relationship. If you don't care for yourself, you're not going to be as good a boss, excuse me, or as good an employee, or as good a contractor or a consultant. Your creativity goes up. Your capability goes up. Your intuition goes up. Everything that you have access to goes up, and you begin to have access to stuff you didn't even have before. Ideas, creativity, connections, possibilities. I can tell you from my own personal experience and from that of clients, stuff happens that I could not have imagined. Now, I can't prove, oh, well, that's because you were doing this, but I still know it's true. And here's how I know. During the years I did it sporadically, when I would do it for a while, life would change. My luck would change. The universe worked in my favor. When I quit, it got back to the same old grind, the same old grunge. And I could tell how diligent I was by how life was turning out. That's not a surprise. Think of sports. If I go play my game, not warmed up for, you know, several games, are my stats going to be as good? Of course not. It's not a surprise if I go try to perform on the piano and I don't warm up. It's not going to be as good. So it's easy to see. It's easy to prove. Caring for yourself is the highest form of spirituality. Loving yourself is the highest form of spirituality. Don't place yourself in jeopardy. Increase your ability to love. Increase your ability to serve, to add good to the world. And you can move forward, creating anything you want. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. When I say those words, I want you to substitute the ones that for you are the life you want to build. I promise it works. No questions. If you'd like to talk more about it, I invite you to reach out. I invite you to come into conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's design something that's awesome and maximally effective for you. I've given you this today, and I have withheld nothing. It works. It works so well that I do longer periods because it does even more powerful stuff. I can promise you that if you create yourself, you love yourself, and you care for yourself, you'll do more, you'll be more, you'll have more fun, and you'll be able to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.